Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, you want that to go?
It's time for some takeouts on stories you're following this week. We've got Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen here. He's going to be talking about March Madness in a moment. But you know, the NCAA brackets aren't the only paperwork that people are filling out at this time of the year. There's a story appearing in today's New York Times that puts a prescient spin on this classic from George Harrison. Several European governments are levying taxes on everything from candy, soft drinks, and even horses. Horses, Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reported for our partner, the New York Times. Your horse is taxed. Explain this to me.
Good morning. That's in the United Kingdom. Yes, they are adding a horse tax. It is supposedly paying for an agricultural bureau they're founding. Another favorite one that from this article that I saw was in Northern Ireland. They're raising the dog license tax, and it's even happening in the U.S. A lot of local governments, for instance, in Florida, in a town called Winter Haven, instead of having the general public pay when there are auto accidents, they're levying a tax on the person who was at fault. The first responder tax will go to the person who caused the car accident. And what this is, you know, kind of a usury tax. These are taxes for the people who are buying the sodas, or the people who are using these services. But you can also look at them a bit as stealth taxes, because revenue from these taxes will, in general, go to the treasury of these governments and help fill the holes where their income taxes or corporate taxes have fallen. Mm.
So what makes these popular? I mean, there's tons of them. If you read the article, they're in every part of the world, in every state of the union, they have these. Why do governments want to use these kind of taxes?
So a lot of governments have pledged not to raise taxes. And these taxes are kind of stealth taxes because you don't increase the income tax. For instance, in France, President Sarkozy, when he was elected in 2007, pledged that he would not raise taxes. But critics of his there have said he actually has created 20 new taxes, but they're taxes of this sort.
They have other names for them.
They have other names. But the reason,
remember in the Reagan administration what they called the fees that they would raise?
What did they call them?
Revenue enhancements.
There you go. But the reason that they're popular with governments is an important one, and it's that they're not as tied to the economic cycle. So normal taxes on your income or on companies, when there's a growth in the economy, those go up. But when the economy falls, those go down. And think about it. With the bad economy, this is when we need government services the most. So the government has a lot of expenses now, but income taxes are down. The revenue from those is not as much because we're not making as much money. So this sort of taxes will provide more income to governments even when the economy is bad.
So are we expecting any of these coming out from our own federal government?
You know, I don't know of any stealth taxes coming, but that's the nature. They're secretive. So keep your eyes open. And certainly we've got a big hole to fill in the U.S., so you may see some taxes of the sort.
Okay, Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times.
If you see a stealth tax out there, give us a call. And we'll report it to Louise right away. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning.
So it seems to me the early rounds of the NCAA tournament that gets underway today, right? It's all about finding the Cinderella team, finding that team that's going to break out and maybe do some upsets, not watching the top seeds, right?
Well, okay, so that's interesting. You can watch it. I have four ways to watch it. You can watch the top seeds to see who's actually, if you want to follow a team and see their run, an epic run. You can also look for high-scoring talent. Look for someone who's really good, who's just going to drop tons of points, excuse me. And then there's also, look for a location. These are all at neutral sites. Some of these kids are going to be flying across the country, have never played. You get energy from playing at a home crowd. You get energy from playing at an away crowd. You get psyched up for that. But when you're playing at a neutral site, how do these kids respond to that? And then also the 10, 11, 12 seeds versus the 6, 7, and 5 seeds, that's where you'll get upsets.
So you want the middle seeds. That's really the first round game that you're going to choose. And, you know, the high scores, we don't really know yet until the tournament gets started. What are you picking for your first round game?
Well, BYU versus Florida, that's where you'll get Jimmer Fredette. He's averaged 21.7 points a game. He scored in his last two games in his conference tournament 45 and 30 points respectively. So if you want to see a really good score, Jimmer Fredette, BYU, Florida. Also, you have Lehigh versus Kansas if you want to watch a number one seed
right.
make their tournament run.
Kansas fanatics will watch
precisely.
That. I mean, that's going to be a blowout. But what about this? The president, I guess, is going to be watching what game?
Murray State versus Vanderbilt. That's a potential upset game because Murray State's ranked, they're picked to be their 13th, and then Vanderbilt's 4th, their seed. So that's an interesting game. Also, Washington versus Marquette. That's another potential upset
really?
With Marquette over Washington, even though they're very similar in their style of play and very close. The game that I think is interesting in terms of where they're actually playing, San Diego State versus Tennessee.
Right.
In Providence.
They're both on a totally neutral site.
Completely.
They've both flown a lot of miles to
exactly.
get where they're going. Now, everybody loves to watch Butler. Where are they in the first round?
So let's see. Butler right now...
It's Butler versus UTEP. Butler's a number 5 seed.
Yes.
UTEP's a number 12. A lot of people want Butler to emerge because
everyone's
picking them as
everyone
Cinderella
has Butler
team.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then I love the Obama pick too. Just to go back to that real quick. So I think people are looking for shocks in the first round because they are expecting them. But everyone's picking for number one teams to make it through because they're so talented.
And you know, you mentioned Obama, and he, by legend and by report,
yeah.
is obsessed. With this.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
So you know he's
he has a presidential bracket.
I mean, he must be able, like 12 screens.
Yeah.
In his, he reminds me of the guy yesterday we were talking to in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
He's going out to look at 18 screens. So what will you be watching today?
I really want to see this guy, Jimmer Fredette. I know that may not be the game to see, but he's supposedly one of the highest, he's the 12th highest scoring kid in the nation. He's dropped 25 points 10 times this year. So there's something about seeing these individual talent in this first round because you may not see them after that.
Right. Ibrahim Abdelmateen, Takeaway Sports Contributor. You can go to our website. Ibrahim's got his bracket filled out. Celeste's got her bracket filled out. And, of course, I've got this. It's not a rant exactly. It's my feeling that, you know, I hate the brackets.
It's a monogram.
And I responded with my own blog saying
I don't like the brackets because I love the fact that all these players may be playing the last game of their entire career. Most don't go out in the NBA. That's what I love about it. I don't like to bet on the NCAA.
I don't like to bet either. I went with my heart, and that's what makes it tough.
Right.